In Psalm 107:20, Barbara, it says, he sent his word and healed them. And many times healing is not taught scripturally. And because of some of the one-liners that we've heard, you know, well, for example, well, you know, God doesn't heal today. He used to heal, but he doesn't heal anymore. That is a tradition of men that has crept into some churches. And here people are needing healing. And the shepherd teaches, well, you know, it was in one dispensation, but it's not in this one. Well, then the people don't get prayed for. They don't get healed. And the shepherds, the pastors, should be praying for their people, because that's part of the Great Commission.
Yeah,
Jesus sent his disciples out, and he said, I want you to go out and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and so on. Well, sometimes you wonder why Darren and Barbara focus so much on healing. That's a part of the gospel message. Now, let me tell you, when you get into the healing teaching, what you really get into is the teaching on faith, the reliability of the word, the truthfulness of God. Does God ever lie? Does he make these promises? Are they just empty? When he says he sent his word and healed him, did he really mean that? Will his word heal you? Well, if you're in a church that says, well, you know, healing isn't for today, it's gone, that tradition of men is going to rip you off, and you're not going to have biblical healing that belongs to you.
That's right. That spirit of unbelief. Jesus confronted that even in his own hometown, as we talked about just in the last half hour. And he could do no major miracles in his own hometown because they thought of him as the little neighborhood boy. Well, he's that carpenter's son down the street. And they didn't trust him to be the Messiah that God had promised in the Old Testament. Now, Darren, when we go to Isaiah 53, and I believe it's a very pivotal chapter in the Old Testament, in the prophetic scripture of Jesus coming and dwelling on this earth and paying not only for our sins. It says here in Isaiah 53 in verse 5, he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Okay, now we all believe that. The whole church, evangelical church and full gospel church, believe that Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins, the sins of the world, and the sin that of the world that came through the transgression in the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Now, we all believe that. Oh, yeah, man, Jesus came and died on the cross, and if I believe, then my sin is going to be forgiven. Now, if we can believe that so simply and so quickly by faith, why can't we believe the very next verse? And it says here, the chastening for our well-being fell upon him. Now, that means chastening means all the punishment he took, all the scourging he took. It was for our well-being. Now, what's that word well-being? That word well-being means peace, absolute peace in body, soul, and mind. I believe a Christian should never have a sickness where he becomes despondent or discouraged or depressed, because Jesus paid for it right here. Our well-being was utmost important to him when he went to the cross. The very next phrase says, and by his scourging we are healed. Why cannot we believe this when we believe the verse right before that?
Well, I'll give you one example, Barbara. Some ministers of the gospel don't really give the Old Testament the respect it ought to have. And you know, and some would even imply this by practice, or even say, well, don't mess with the Old Testament, just stay in the gospels. If you do that, you miss the heart of God.
You do.
The heart of God here.
This is the absolute heart of God.
That is the absolute
heart
of God. And when we read in the New Testament that we've been raised up and seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places, well, we got to know that. Why can we be seated with him in the heavenly places? Because he takes our sins away, and he takes our sicknesses away, and he wants to make us and conform us to his image and make us more and more like him. When we do that, we can live out our Christianity or our holiness or our walk with God from the inside out, not from all these external things, but from the inside out.
Right. Now, you were talking about Colossians 2 just a little bit before we started teaching again in this second half, and I would like to go back to Colossians 2. You were talking about all the fullness of deity dwelling in Jesus Christ in his body. He was 100% God, and he was 100% man.
Right.
He was the Son of Man, Son of God.
He was
that
the incarnate man.
That's right. He went through every temptation we go through. He went through every physical feeling we go through. It says here in verse 11, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. and in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, we all have to live in a body of flesh, and this flesh wants its own way. In fact, Jesus in the garden says, you know, the spirit is so willing, but this flesh is weak. And we have to live with this body of flesh.
And your flesh is a rebel.
Absolutely.
It's an enemy of God.
But God has made provision through his word and through Jesus Christ, his son, that we can put on the spirit of Jesus, and we can overcome that bodily, wanting selfishness, wanting my own way all the time kind of thing. We can overcome that through Jesus Christ. I truly believe that we can be circumcised of that bodily sin that so torments us all the time.
We can lay that down.
We can lay that down.
Now, that means that you're going to have a propensity for godly things, not for the things of the flesh.
I believe that.
Now, in Colossians 3:2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's trying to elevate our understanding to say, listen, the spirit world is really the kingdom you need to live in. And Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And it goes on to say, and all of these things will be added unto you, meaning he'd been talking in Matthew 6 there about clothing and raiment and housing and all of those physical things that we need. Well, if we're going to really walk like Jesus, we're going to have to do what it says in Colossians 2:20. If you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourselves to degrees such as don't handle, don't taste? In other words, why are you focusing on all of these no-nos out here?
The rules and regulations.
Traditions of men.
That's right. Traditions.
You need to be focusing on what God says and looking at, and see, we really need to change our identities, Barbara, and part of the problem really is this. When we come to Jesus, we had either a flesh orientation or a mind orientation. We were either really into the mind things, into reason, or we were into, say, foods.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we were into clothing, we're into wardrobe, we're into all of these sensory things that we can see and touch and feel and wear and so on. He wants us to change our identity, and that's going to be done through the Word. We're going to be renewed in the spirit of our mind so that we begin to think, first of all, what's going on spiritually.
That's
then
right.
Mentally, then physically.
That's
so it's spirit,
right.
Mind, body.
Spirit, mind, and body instead of the world's concept of what is the world's biggest thing they focus on? The body.
The body.
The body. And
now, the reason you need to know what we're talking about here in this teaching is today, the world has almost run the gamut on sex. I mean, they've just experimented. They've gone the whole nine yards on sex. Now, they're going one more step, and I'm seeing it here on Denver radio and television. Now they're getting into blasphemy. I mean, the crude words that are used on radio stations that I've had high respect for a number of years, mm-hmm. And they're elevating this, and they're marketing some of these crass, crude broadcasters as being really cool. And, of course, we see that on television, some of the sitcoms and the shows. Folks, let me tell you, you're going to have to know the purity of Jesus Christ if you're going to walk clean in this dirty world. I've got to tell you,
that's
you've got
right.
to know who you are spiritually.
Now, some of you, you're saying, you know, why is the church so nitpicky? Why are some people so nitpicky about everything that we eat or we drink or we put on? Or let me just talk, for instance, about something like piercing ears. Okay, the other several months ago, we were talking about body piercing, and some Christians really find that very offensive, and I personally do not believe in it. I do not believe in cutting on the body in any way, shape, or form. And my own personal opinion, I have never pierced my ears because of that reason. I have many friends. My daughters have pierced ears. That is a personal conviction that they have. They can live a godly life, a Christ-filled life. But I have seen some of these people with pierced ears, Darren, who have pierced their ears, and they wear all the earrings and everything, and they have come against the teenagers now who are piercing their eyelids and piercing their noses and that kind of thing. And I personally, I believe it is not right, okay? This is, and I believe it should not be done by a child of God.
You mean you don't think you ought to wear an earring in your belly button?
Well, I don't believe the piercing that's going on is a thing of that a godly person should enter into and focus on. But what I'm saying is at